This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to BFM 89.9 with me, Chuang, Philip and Shawning. In the meantime, of course, it's all about the political situation, the quagmire that we find ourselves in this country again. And of course, we know that the Prime Minister is scheduled to have an audience with the King today, where he is expected to tender his resignation.
This comes after his proposal for a confidence and supply arrangement with opposition MPs was roundly rejected. Last Friday, in a live telecast, Muhyiddin offered to initiate a slew of reforms in exchange for bipartisan support during the confidence vote in Parliament. However, this was deemed as too little, too late by opposition lawmakers, and by Sunday, Muhyiddin had informed Bersatu's top brass that he will resign.
Now, this sparked a flurry of politicking over the weekend as Perikatan national leaders jostled to present an alternative coalition to remain in power. One option being tabled is for Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri to become the Prime Minister with Bersatu's Dato' Hamzah Zainuddin as his deputy. But of course, this is a very fluid situation. So what scenarios could unfold from the political web being weaved as we speak now?
Well, to answer that question, we've got with us now Dr. O.E. Sun, the Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs and a long-time political observer. E. Sun, good morning. Now, Tan Sri Muhyiddin is expected to tender his resignation as PM today. Why is he finally taking this route after clinging to power for the past 16 months? Was this down to the opposition's refusal of his olive branch?
Well. Good morning. Let's not rushing to judgment too soon. We simply don't know at this point whether he would indeed resign. His political track record over the past 1.5 years has not been a stellar one. He appeared to like to pull out some sort of last minute constitution bending trick. So we don't know what kind of announcement he will make after that. Number one. Number two, if he does resign, that's simply due to his inability to still command a parliamentary majority. There's no, like a majority of members of parliament who still support him as prime minister. Yeah.
And okay, those are many assumptions there, Isan. But we're just curious, assuming that if he does resign, who would be the biggest winners and perhaps losers from it?
Well, it depends. You see, UMNO has been rocking the boat all these months, right? And for UMNO, the ideal situation will be Mr. Muhyiddin, Tan Sri Muhyiddin steps down, and then UMNO becomes the helmsperson or helmsman of this ship, right? So you'll be the same ship, the same ruling coalition, just that somebody from UMNO will be the captain instead of Tan Sri Muhyiddin. In that case, UMNO will be the biggest winner. If His Majesty is of the opinion that the current opposition, for example, Anwar Ibrahim, is more likely to command a parliamentary majority and therefore appoints Anwar Ibrahim as the new Prime Minister, then of course, Pakatan Harapan being restored to the legitimate position would indeed come out as the winner. Yeah.
And just talking about the UMNO leader and helm position, I mean, we've heard talks about this Ismail Sabri and Hamzah Zainuddin being bandied around. Do you think that's palatable?
Well, I think the two of them would like to have this sort of dream team of theirs, with Ismail Sabri being the Prime Minister and the DPM being Hamzah Zainuddin. But I also heard, for example, there are many within UMNO who are not buying it, because barely, I think, 2-3 days ago, Ismail Sabri was still standing firm, in fact, rallying the troops for Muhyiddin. Huh? And now, within less than 24 hours, he's trying to rally the troops for himself. I think it's somewhat difficult for a lot of UMNO diehards to sort of swallow. Yeah.
Well, Ihsan, well, first of all, I want to wish you happy birthday, because I forgot to in the introduction. So happy birthday.
Thank you indeed.
And I think secondly, and perhaps less importantly, if you don't think Muhyiddin is going to resign, what are you expecting?
Well, I don't know what kind of you know, yet another arrangement, shall we say, he is going to propose to the king. I mean, assuming he's not resigning. But I could probably assure you whatever he is proposing would sort of skirt sort of the boundaries of our constitutional propriety. For example, he, you know, this thing about motions of confidence, he has been delaying it for all this time, for more than 1.5 years. So I don't know. I mean, it's just like, for me, it reminds me of Richard Nixon after the Watergate scandal, trying his best to hold on to power using whatever, as I say, constitution bending tricks that he could master here.
So, Isan, does this mean that we might actually see possible alliances here? I mean, will new ones emerge?
Well, the important thing is to convince the king that you are likely to command a majority, right? I mean, you may not at this point have a majority, but you need to somehow convince the king that if you were made prime minister with a very short period of time, all the troops are going to sort of rally around you, and you will win, for example, a motion of confidence in parliament. The right thing to do is for the new PM appointee to rush to parliament to put forward the motion of confidence whereby he or she is tested. If he or she passes that motion of confidence, then he or she could stay on, right? If not, he or she should step down and the process would recur again.
Do you think if Pakana Harapan and Warisan agree to work together and have a joint power sharing agreement, do you think that will give enough momentum to bring others onto the table as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Shafi and Anwar could somehow work together, for example, I think another dream team setup would be Anwar as PM and Shafi as DPM, right? If they could have that kind of numbers, I think they are over 100 already. And then you just need to have a few more to give you a majority, yeah.
Well, that was a question we wanted to ask Dato' Sri Shafi Abdal, but unfortunately he couldn't take our call earlier on. Do you think that it's going to work, though? Is it possible? But that's not enough, right, Isan? Because the magic number is 111.
No, the magic number is 111. To be more precise, the magic number is 111 if you go to Parliament and you present a motion. At the point of appointment, at the time of appointment, you don't need to have 111. You might even have just, let's say, 100. It's just that you need to convince the king you are likely to command 111. Yeah. And how do you do that? You need to be persuasive, I guess. Muhyiddin, for example, at the time of his appointment as PM, he definitely did not have one. At that time, you need to have, let's say, 112, right? Mm. Because, at that point, there were statutory declarations supporting Dr. Mahathir, I think amounting to, let's say, 114. But the king was somehow convinced that Muhyiddin is likely to get more than 112. Yeah.
But why can't they work together, Anwar and Shafi? It was very evident, you know, Friday evening after Muhyiddin's announcement, they came out with separate press releases, which means that they can't even be united to object this roundly. Why is it they can't work together now?
Well, of course, every politician will have their ambition, right? Anwar has been so-called waiting in the wings for so long. He would like to have the premiership for himself. Shafi Abdal, of course, being a fellow Sabahan, would like to also claim the premiership for the first time for East Malaysian, right? So sometimes it boils down to all these, I wouldn't say personality differences, it's just that you have, you know, the same ambition and you happen to want to clinch the top prize, yeah.
Do you think that PH should have taken the olive branch, that deal?
Well, there were some in PH who were quite enthusiastic about it. I could understand their their sentiments. Namely, if you don't take this offer, that then AMNO is going to be back in charge, right? Like what you mentioned just now, Ismail Sabri, and then Hamza Zainuddin, the deputy, and so on. And you don't want to see that, so might as well take this, and the sweeteners will be all these wonderful reforms and so on. But the problem with that is the trustworthiness of Muhyiddin himself. As I said, his political track record over the last 1.5 years has not been a very good one of, constantly delaying parliamentary sitting, not facing more motions of confidence, promising to put all these ordinances before parliament, and then having minister misleading parliament. And that minister is still around. I mean, it's not fired or anything, right? Even though the king strongly condemned. So all these things will amount to a trust deficit. You know, if I work with you, I need to have a very basic trust level, right? I mean, between you and me. When that trust level is absent, how do you trust that Muhyiddin would actually deliver those promises of reforms?
Well, now that you talk about trust deficit, Isan, how all this unfolds, what ramifications will it have on the East Malaysian states of Sabah, Sarawak, given the fact that this will further delay what they want under the original Malaysia agreement?
Well, frankly speaking, since 2018, we have passed through three different federal administrations, right? It doesn't appear that federal administrations of various ideological persuasions are indeed very sincere in terms of restoring the rightful rights and privileges of Sabah and Sarawak under the Malaysia agreement. Yes, again, there were sweeteners returning some Petronas money to you and so on. But, really like self-autonomy and so on was not really on the agendas of either of these three administrations.
Yeah. So might this accelerate the breakup of the federation?
Well, that part, I don't think so, because I think, my fellow Sabahans, as well as my neighbouring Sarawakians, I think our temperaments are such that we are not like, in many other developing countries where people really do certain very drastic things to break up their countries and so on due to ideological differences. I think if anything, it has proven, for example, in the last Sabah state election, that despite all this, reneging away from giving us autonomy, we still voted quite overwhelmingly, at least some communities in Sabah, for those parties aligned to the federal government here.
So, Isan, very quickly, what do you expect from GPS then? Could they be swayed from their current stance, and are they ultimately the kingmakers?
I don't think so. I think they have problems working with PKR and DAP. So whichever coalition, which is PKR and DAP, would probably be unlikely to gain the liking of GPS. Yeah.
And if I had to pencil to paper and ask you who would be the next Prime Minister, assuming Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin resigns today, who would that be?
I can't really tell because, who would imagine, for example, Tan Sri Muhyiddin would emerge as the dark horse after Sheraton move last year, right? We all put our money on either Anwar or Dr. Mahathir and so on. So I think we really have to leave it to, again, the wisdom of the king in order to choose somebody who can really lead us out of this pandemic and also revive our economy.
Okay, Isan, thank you so much for your time and happy birthday again. That was Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Again, all to play for. Really, too many balls in the air to juggle.
Yeah, basically, his point is, who knows? And it was an answer that we provided for, actually, in our poll this morning. We did ask on Twitter, if Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin resigns today, who do you think will be the new Prime Minister? And 12% said too close to call. Who knows?
Maybe
or neither, 27%.
Maybe it's those that are not actually doing all the politicking now, So we have Khairi Jamaluddin, Nurul Isa, and so hopefully someone younger.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.